The September 1953 issue of Fate magazine carried the most unusual tale of Arthur Grimble, who for some years was stationed on the central Gilbert Island off Abemama as a district officer in the British Colonial Service. He was sitting at his desk one day when an eerie sound penetrated the sultry heat. It was a thin, high-pitched cry coming from the palms from the direction of the lagoon. The cry mystified Grimble, for it contained neither rage nor pain, but seemed instead a changeless, reedy knot of insufferable dreariness. Grimble's curiosity mounted, and he found he could no longer remain in his office. He had to search out the source of the strange cry. He wound his way through the jungle to the leaf and coconut rib dwelling of a native constable, where he saw a native girl of about 17 sitting stiffly upright without any clothing. Her eyes stared vacantly into space. Her irises were enormously dilated. Her mouth seemed frozen into an open position, and from it came the ceaseless moans. Furthermore, from the arch of her ribs downward, the girl's body was so swollen, her skin shone in the afternoon heat like taut silk. Arthur Grimble was horrified at this macabre sight, yet eager to assist the suffering girl in any way he could. He was told by the family that the swelling had begun just prior to dawn. "My good man, why did you not call for help?" Grimble asked, astonished. The girl's father shook his head. "We knew it was useless. Nothing can stop the work of Rakunene." Grimble felt rising exasperation begin to match his curiosity and sympathy. When he asked who Rakunene was, the family hesitated. Grimble pressed them, and he was told the following story. "Rakunene was once a mortal man who, when he died, became the collaborating spirit of men courting female hearts. His specialty, however, lay in avenging rejected suitors. He made these unhappy men and their affairs his special domain. Should a man be rejected by his loved one, he must follow a prescribed rite to solicit the aid of Rakunene. First, he must manage to obtain a single strand from the unresponsive girl's hair. This he then binds around his thigh for 3 days. On the fourth day, he removes it and burns the hair in a fire of leaves. As he watches the hair burn, he invokes the spirit of Rakunene. That night, Rakunene visits the unfortunate girl in a dream, and this marks the end of her sanity. By morning, her body has begun to swell, and she mumbles constantly about bad dreams. Thereafter, she falls into a moody silence and refuses to don clothing. Before long, the girl begins to moan, quietly at first, but with gradually increasing strength and violence. By the next morning, the sixth day after the spell had been cast, the girl is quite mad, tearing at her own flesh and snapping at all who approach her. This disturbing behavior continues until the day when the girl suddenly cries out, 'Rakunene, Rakunene,' some half dozen times. The cries fade, the girl becomes rigid, and dies." Arthur Grimble heard this story with an arched eyebrow of skepticism. Yet a flickering glance at the suffering girl before him proved that some kind of phenomenon was at work. Determined to rid the villagers of their superstition, Grimble gave the girl a sedative. The villager said scornfully, "You cannot fight a spirit with medicine." It was evident that something more than superstition was making the spell work, for the sedative had no effect whatsoever. In the ensuing 24 hours, Grimble watched with helpless confusion as the girl passed through every stage that had been described to him. The next day, after uttering a fearful cry of Rakunene, the girl lay dead. Within 10 minutes, her body resumed its customary shape, but an expression of terror remained etched upon her face. The case was only the first of many that Grimball witnessed in the Gilberts. He called the disease Rakuneni madness. Grimball's research of the phenomenon led him to the following conclusion. There is, among the island women, a sudden form of madness accompanied by physical disfigurement, which in the mind of the victim is invariably associated with the name of Rakuneni. Is it possible that this is induced by some malicious external agency, working from a distance with the aid of a strand of hair and an incantation? Several years later, after witnessing the horrible end of a Manotti woman afflicted with this insanity, Grimble heard of interesting supportive evidence regarding the efficacy of the curse. It was within a year after this particular woman had died that an acquaintance of hers, a man, fell extremely ill. Upon his deathbed, he confessed that he had contrived the spell that had killed the woman. In a painfully weak voice, he described how, after he had fallen in love with her, he had made repeated advances to her to win her favor, all of which were rebuffed. His ego damaged and his anger roused, the man had secured a hair from her head. 5 days after he had initiated the rite, the woman was dead. The man was firm in his belief that the woman knew nothing of his intended sorcery. Grimble notes that the man could have been deceiving his confessor on this point, but Grimble records that the man died professing Christianity, believing that he must confess his crime for the peace of his soul.